Good afternoon. I am Rachel Humphrey with DEI Advisors, and today I am delighted to welcome to the show Lynette Montoya. Lynette, welcome.
Good morning, Rachel. It's so good to see you today.
Nice to see you. One of the things I like to do is share the impact that you and your leadership has had on me personally in my career, my hospitality journey. And I remember shortly after you assumed the role at Latino Hotel Association, you reached out and we began having a series of conversations about association leadership and content and governance and all of these things. And I was really taken by your desire to learn and to grow and to understand the new role that you had, and was very inspired to do the same as I continued my association leadership roles. I tell people, nobody really goes to college thinking I'm going to be an association executive when I grow up. And so the ability to learn from you and share with you my learnings has been a really important part of my career. So I thank you for that. With that, I want to turn and spend about 30 minutes with you talking about your path to leadership and the lessons that you have learned along the way. And I want to start with you just telling us a little bit about who you are and how you got to where you are today.
Wow. Thank you, Rachel, so much. My name is Lynette Montoya, and I am the CEO of the Latino Hotel Association. And I have to reflect back on those days that I reached out to you and to Chip, and I'm very thankful for those calls and those times. It was vulnerable, and I remain vulnerable because I think it's really important part of learning and being better in what we're trying to achieve with the Latino Hotel Association. And I'm just, had I not had you and other leaders, I don't know if I would still be here. I have to say, this is the hardest job I've ever had. All jobs are hard, and I've gone through many iterations in my life of what I needed to do to be successful. But this one is extremely hard, but at the same time, it's rewarding for sure.
It's so important. What was your career path before starting as CEO of the Latino Hotel Association?
I could start from the day I was born, but really, I think the pivoting point of my life was I always desired to affect the Latino community in some way. And I don't know where that came from, because I'm from Santa Fe, New Mexico, born and raised in New Mexico. And I'm not like the typical immigrant. My parents were very fortunate in that the border crossed and we became just part of the U.S. And our ancestors are the ones that fought the fight. And we've been able to live a really decent life based on our forefathers. And my dad was one of the first young men to graduate from college. And it was really interesting how he went on his path to do, but he just inspired me all the time to just go to college. And he started to really understand the value of being an entrepreneur and working in real estate. And he worked very hard. He retired at like the age of 50, but he had everything going for him. He was a land surveyor. He was a real estate broker. He was a contractor. He's one of those men that was a man of all traits and could do almost anything. And so he really encouraged me to get my license early on. So before I even graduated from college, I had a real estate license. And I went off to work in entities that provided help to Latinos, whether it was English as a second language, job finding skills. And I worked at a national level for an organization called SAD Jobs for Progress. And I was their government relations person. So just experiences abound, especially when you get to a certain age, you have all these different experiences. It's just hard to put them all out there and where it affects you today. But I got married, and I met this person, and I ended up being in an abusive relationship. And I have to say that story because it was pivotal in me moving back to New Mexico and just using that real estate license that my dad never let me let go. And so I was selling high-end real estate, and I was a single parent raising two young boys. And with that, it gave me the opportunity to just be brave and to really step out of my situation and work on with sales only as an income. And I spent some time with a particular group of people that were looking at high-end real estate in Santa Fe, and For any of you that know Carol Burnett from back in the day and Amy Irving and all of the major, many major stars, even Julia Roberts, they all wanted to live in Santa Fe. And so I was in a great space where I was able to show these high-end homes. I worked with this group for a while and they finally didn't end up buying anything. Meanwhile, I was like really counting on selling them a home, closing on those homes. So it was two of them. And then they just didn't want to do it. And I was like, oh, I'm not letting these people go. And this is what I guess you call persistence. And so I went to their office and they had been talking about how they had started a management company and they were doing real estate. And by the way, they were both Hispanic, which is. And so I went to their office one day. I said, okay, guys, I worked with you all this time and I wasn't able to sell you a house, but since you're in this business, do you think I could sell you a hotel? So there you go, Rachel. That was where it all started.
That's
it. Yeah, sure enough, I sold them their hotel in San Antonio, Texas, the St. Anthony. And I thought, oh my gosh, I got to find them more properties. I got to look everywhere. And I started looking at those old H&LA books that were this thick. And you opened them and you looked to see who all of the people were that owned the properties, that managed the properties. And I just started using those tools. And anyway, this is such a long story, Rachel. I could keep telling you more, but I need to tell you a few more steps in the story. I met Duraine Lalani, who you just interviewed recently. And I literally just called her up and said, I'm in town. I flew to Houston by myself, asked my parents to watch my boys to just start to look for more assets. And I literally knocked on doors of hotels. I know door knocking for homes is one thing, but for hotels was different. And I'd go to the front desk and I'd say, can you tell me who I could reach out to so I could reach the owner? And that's literally what I did. And so that's how I found some assets. And I had a little spiel that I was taught in that period of time that those guys gave me the opportunity. They said, okay, this is what you say. You say, I know some people that are looking for acquisitions, and I was wanting to see if you were looking at doing a disposition of your property. That's how I rolled. And anyway, I go see Duraine and we start looking at the portfolio that she was working with. And so we start looking at some of their assets and we do make offers, but those didn't necessarily work out. But she did say to me, Lynette, you have to go to investment conferences. So I started to go to investment conferences and it was a huge investment to go. And today it's a huge investment to go to those conferences, as we all know. And I would get there and I would be like, oh my gosh, this is a sea of white men. And you may have heard this story, but it was a scary and intimidating situation to walk into these conferences. And poor Duraine, I was just hanging on to her. And I felt like the short Hispanic woman in the room. And where were anybody that I could relate to culturally? But didn't matter. I still went up to everyone and I introduced myself. And I met a while back John Q. Hammonds, and I stayed in touch with him and I was able to sell some of his assets too. It really paid off to be brave and step out of the box. And then it got more difficult as there became a lot more brokers and they were men. It became a lot more difficult. That's when I realized I needed to tone it down, stay in my lane in New Mexico and not try to do so much everywhere else. And also we had a market crash, et cetera, that slowed me down. And then I was raising young men and that took a lot of time. And meanwhile, I remarried. And so I had a support system so that I could just not be so strapped. Anyway, so that's the story, Rachel.
Well,
maybe I told you the story before.
Not all the pieces of it, which I think is one of the things that's really interesting. And I will tell you, you have so many incredible nuggets in there. I want to follow up on a few of them. First of all, one of the things we do hear often is the tremendous impact that your father had on raising a daughter to show her, to show you that you could really be anything, but the importance of the independence, the financial independence, the having a career and other things. So kudos for starters to your dad, but also so many examples of bravery in there and advocating for yourself and stepping out of your comfort zone. I want to touch on a couple of the topics early on. He has been an incredible mentor and champion to so many. And you just talked about the influence that she had on you. And now, in turn, you are getting to serve as a mentor and champion to so many in the industry and as a role model. Talk a little bit about the process of identifying mentors and champions and then, in turn, paying it forward in that role for you today.
Our industry, I felt since I've been in the industry for a while, and it was really good to come from a brokerage perspective, because many of the people that I met way back when are still really good friends. And I always say, we're just all growing up together.
Yeah.
And to me, that's how I feel. I look at Wyndham, there was Jose Nido, who just really helped me along the way to just learn what I should do, stay focused, keep your money, do not overspend for the association, as far as the association was concerned. And then he was just very helpful in many ways. And then there's been Bill Fortier over at Hilton, who's just been an amazing supporter of the association, and I'm very thankful to him. And Rob Menetesh over at Best Western, he's like, when I first started, I didn't know what to do because the footsteps had gone dry from the person that was before me. So there were so many things that needed to come back together. And he always encouraged me along the way to, okay, when is your next conference? When are you going to get going? And then, of course, as I was working with having that monthly or bi-monthly call with you and Chip, that was extremely helpful as well. Lynette gets sponsors. I'm like, but I don't have the owners. Okay, I have the owners, but they're so busy. I don't know if they'll come. And anyway, it was definitely a lot of mentors and champions along the way. And I probably would never be able to name them all, but very fortunate to continue to have support from all of the brands and from others in the industry.
That's such a great lesson to show us too, that so many of your mentors and champions have been men and have been in brands where maybe that wasn't your role. So you can look outside of your company, you can look outside of maybe your direct field and have people who really play an important role in your development, separate from what you're doing in your day-to-day activities. As part of an association executive, you and I have had an opportunity to be on panels, be speaking at the same conferences. How important do you think public speaking is on your role as a leader? How do you develop those skills? Are you comfortable with it? Do you get nervous? Do you have a method of preparing when you're preparing? What is the role of public speaking in your leadership? Because not everybody is comfortable with that. And public speaking, just as an add-on, could be speaking in front of a boardroom or could be speaking to your own team as opposed to in a conference like the size of yours?
That's a really good question. Before all of this began, I used to go to Toastmasters, and I honestly think that was very helpful. And then it faded. But when I had those successes there's so many, you're making me think of all of these things, but when I had those successes in the real estate industry, I was always had previously business coaching for real estate and just for my own business. And I always felt like those were key components to me being successful. And still today, I know I take a nugget from everywhere, every coaching opportunity that I've had, and I remember it and I go back to it. And so I'm very thankful for that. But I was coached by a real estate coaching company called Bucvini Real Estate. And when they heard that I had that big sale, they used to put me on the stage and I just would tell my story.
Yeah.
And I think the biggest, the most impact I have is when I'm vulnerable.
Yeah.
And I can't say that more than, because even I was on a panel on yesterday or Monday, and I just was from the heart about what I know and what I think is important. And I think that's where the public speaking comes together for me. Because if I don't share my story and I'm not authentic, then I'm just speaking. But in order to influence others and to give them a perspective that they might not have considered when I put myself in their place and speak about it, I think that's where I know I can feel it when I'm saying it, that it makes a difference.
And that's the power of storytelling. The whole mission behind DEI advisors to share stories, yours and the other advisors, is because it is relatable and it is vulnerable sharing, and it is talking about an area, hopefully, that you are very comfortable with. But I think also when you talk about the panel speaking, it's important to select the right avenues. So if you're speaking on a panel and you know that content, or you are able to share your personal story, then you are going to resonate with your audience. If you pick a panel talking about, I don't know what, some space that is not yours, and you're just memorizing note cards or questions or something else, it's going to come across that way. So really selecting the good fit for you and then telling your personal story. I love that so much. You were talking about in your personal journey being a single mom and having two boys, and certainly none of us has mastered perfectly this idea of work-life balance, just trying to manage the two. For those who are trying to figure it out now, what is some advice you have or strategies you implemented? Because you've had a very demanding career in several different facets, but very demanding. You're on the road a lot, obviously, now. How do you find a balance that really, or a management style that works for you and having both of those components of your life?
That's a good question. One of the, going back to some of the coaching tips I had from a long time ago, it sticks with me. I'll just pop this up. So this little notepad, it may be small, but I just put the four things that I need to really achieve today. And I usually write it the night before, or I look at it early in the morning and just know that, and they're not necessarily tasks. Some of them are just a project that needs to get started, but that's one helpful hint I can share, because if you have this list, and my list used to be so long, and then I would have to, anyway, so this has been very efficient for me. I really choose not to work on the weekends, but some Sunday nights, usually there's some preparation for Monday, but I do like to take at least 24 hours off, and because I need to regroup, refresh, connect with family, and take care of myself. I also put workout into my schedule at least 3 to 4 days a week, and no matter what, and it's my meeting, and so I don't schedule during that time. And other COVID, I realized yesterday when I had to go to Albuquerque, and I travel a lot, as we all do, but I realized that I hadn't taken the time to just step out of this little office of mine and just remember all of those other opportunities that are out there, and they're not going to really come to me just sitting here. And even though we travel, we're really traveling for a specific thing and to achieve a specific goal. So just taking off yesterday and just spending that time with one of my board members, with some investors, with other people that that very successful. I just feel really filled today and reminded that there's so many more things I can be doing, and I have to put it somehow into my work-life management, because there's a lot left for me to achieve, including LHA, of course.
Yeah. It's interesting. I, first of all, love a good list. I am a big believer in the organization of a list as well. But what I really touched on there was that you are self-aware enough to recognize the importance of self-care, and that you are building in that important time, because it's very easy as parents, especially as single parents, to not prioritize ourselves and to make sure the association is taken care of, to make sure that, you mentioned, all the shareholders of the association are taken care of, that your children are taken care of. But I love that you are finding intentional time to take care of yourself. That's incredibly helpful advice to share. And I hope that people will definitely attach on to that. One of my favorite questions to answer, and so I always ask it, is what advice would we give to our 20-year-old selves? And I like it so much because I think that reflecting on where we come from, what we want to be, how we're going to get there is so important. And we continue to grow and we continue to learn. And it sounds like you've had great coaching experiences, great mentors, great industry experience that has helped you do that. Looking back now, what would you tell 20-year-old?
This is just a reflection of the first thing that comes to mind is this will pass. This, whatever's happening to you at that age, it seems so traumatic, it will pass. And I think that's really hard to see when you're young. You see just the worst in everything. And as I've gotten older, I just have learned more about just surrendering and just saying everything's going to work out. You work towards helping it to work out, but sometimes the dwelling on something that's not happening can be really painful. And I wish I would have known that and given myself a little bit more of a break. I would say invest, look at ways to invest, save your money however you can and in whatever that's available to you through your workplace and or if you're an entrepreneur to get advice on how to do. To appreciate, the next thing would be to really appreciate your age at where you're at. Because I think I don't know when we're in our 20 somethings where we are loving it, but I don't know what we're waiting for. So enjoy the moment.
That's great advice. I love that. As CEO of the Latino Hotel Association, but also through your career, you have accomplished great things, but it is not without obstacles, personal and professional. What are some of the strategies when faced with a challenge or an obstacle that you implement, part of your character that you think helps you hunker down and overcome whatever that challenge is that you're facing?
Those are really good questions. We had a really successful conference, and I'll just talk about that. We had a very successful conference. And then in the end, I was really pleased with everything. There's always something, and I caught myself dwelling on the something that didn't happen, but it was really a wonderful conference. It just really showed how we've moved along and how we are really on a great path. And I think the obstacles that we face is always just being recognized as an organization that really matters and that we're a large enough, we have such an impactful population on the US and pay attention to us. And so I've been just reaching out to many to find better ways to do what we're doing and to find more support for doing what we're doing and without more resources, like how can we just have more of an impact because we have one conference a year. That's obviously not enough if we're trying to reach this great community and are we reaching them and how do we get there? And so right now I feel obstacles, but I'm just going to break them down one at a time and figure out ways that we can make a difference and really using my team and my board a lot more because sometimes I just get honed in that everybody's so busy. I don't know if they have time for this. And so just realizing that they're there, they want to help. They know that this is important. We have so much data that we cannot be ignored and we need to do everything we can to break down any obstacles and not be ignored. And, you know, it's about the association. And then just for personally, also for me to know that this is so important, but I also have to consider to continue building generational wealth in my family, which we already have and which we continue to do. But when there's so much more I want to do.
I think such great advice about taking the pieces a little bit at a time instead of being overwhelmed by the whole, but also, like you said, reaching out to others to help and know that they want to help you and to support you. And as we strive for a more diverse industry at all levels, the work that Latino Hotel Association is doing is so important in developing future leaders, hotel owners, and all of that to be more diverse. Obviously, I do remember where the association was when you stepped in and where it is today, and you should be incredibly proud, but also feed off of that success and that trajectory to keep powering you forward. As expected, we're going to run short on time, and I could ask you a million other things, but keeping in mind the mission of DEI advisors, which is to empower personal success for individuals to go out and grow and enable their own futures. What is a final piece of advice, maybe something that we haven't talked about, but that you would want to tell our listeners, not if you're thinking about one thing, but if you're thinking about one more thing, here is something that I have relied on in elevating my career and may help you as well.
I guess I can look at it from the perspective of the advice that I've given my boys and those around me, my nieces, et cetera, and nephews too, by the way, is to just really believe in yourself and write your goals and then go back and read them. I know that sounds like all of the motivational speakers of the world, those little things can really make a big difference in your life. And know what you want and expect great things to happen. Expect a big offer to come. So you have to really believe in yourself to see those things happen. And just know that it's kind of when you have what you have and you're holding on to it, then it's not going to grow. But if you let go and you take some risk with a lot of knowledge, let's be clear, good things will happen. And so just believe in yourself and listen to your instincts and date the people around so you know that you're around the right people. Just date them and know them very well.
I love that so much. I love ending on such a note of optimism and hope and positive thinking. But Lynette, on behalf of an entire industry, thank you so much for your leadership. On behalf of our team here at DEI Advisors, thank you so much for sharing your story and the insights you've learned along the way. But we're glad to have you as a guest today.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.